This morning, Romans 14 is going to teach us how Christians respond to each other in the area of doubtful things. Big word is acceptance. But I appreciate what Kelly was saying about grace and the songs we sang, because all of this is based on grace. Christianity is grace. The enemies of grace are several, but two mainly, as we get into this. One enemy of grace is legalism. Legalism is trying to be right with God by keeping rules. Of course, that's under the law. And the Jews added to the law and had about 400 other rules. The legalists today, these are Christian people who are legalists, have added many things to the Bible. Another enemy of grace is moralism. Moralism is trying to be right by being good on your own. So I keep the rules, I'm being good, and that's an enemy of grace. And we'll learn more about that as we get into this, because today we have our churches full of grace killers, just killing grace, wiping it out. Now, let's take a look at the text. Romans 14:1. Accept him whose faith is weak without passing judgment on disputable matters. One man's faith allows him to eat everything, but another man whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. Ha ha. Look, verse 3. The man who eats everything must not look down on him who does not. And the man who does not eat everything must not condemn the man who does. For God has accepted him. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One man considers one day more sacred than another. Another man considers every day alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. He who regards one day as special does so to the Lord. He who eats meat eats to the Lord, for he gives thanks to God. And he who abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself alone, and none of us dies to himself alone. If we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. Now let's think about this text. The key thing is acceptance. Acceptance has become a big word in pop psychology in our day. And the big thing that psychologists say is that you must accept yourself before you can accept God, or before you can accept others. Acceptance is a big thing in our life, isn't it? It's wonderful to feel accepted. The opposite of that is rejection. It's an awful thing to feel rejection. It's just awesomely wonderful to feel accepted. Now, the instruction here is that we are to accept each other in Christ. He speaks of those who are weak in faith. The weak in faith must accept the strong in faith. The strong in faith must accept the weak in faith. Means to welcome, to receive. Do not reject in the church family, in our own families. Now, he says, accept these people without passing judgment on disputable matters. Now, there are some things in Scripture that are very, very clear. One list of those things is in Galatians 5. And you don't need to turn to it. It's very well known. And it's that list that Paul gives prior to the fruit of the Spirit. Now, here are some things that are very clear. These are not disputable. The acts of a sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and evil, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, divisions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, you can find many other passages in the Scripture that are very clear about the regard to Christian conduct. There's no question about that. What Paul is discussing here is those matters that are not so clear and about which there's really nothing said in Scripture. Now, the main thing discussed here as illustration is eating, what to eat or not to eat. Of course, this was important to the Jews because God gave them certain food that was clean, certain food that was unclean. So it was a big deal to them. This is not a discussion of nutrition or health. This is a religious matter with the Jews. And so in our day, we have a real long list. Think about this, Murray. What is the long list that Christians use in disputable matters which divides people and which brings rejection and not acceptance? And then he brings up the matter of days. Some people consider one day as sacred and holy. Some people consider all days sacred and holy. Now, there is a scriptural truth there that we ought to realize, that since the cross, every day is holy. Tomorrow morning is as holy as Sunday. No day is more holy than another. Every commandment, every one of the Ten Commandments, is listed in the New Testament in some form except one. That's the Sabbath. There is no more Sabbath day. There is no day more holy than another. Christmas is not a holy day over today. Easter is no more a holy day than today. So we need to realize that, or we're back under the law. But the Jews were observing certain days according to the new moon and so on. They had these holy convocations. And Paul is saying, if some people want to do that, accept them. If some people don't want to do that, accept them, and don't let it be a division. So now we need to get into definitions. Accept him whose faith is weak, accept the other whose faith is strong. Now, who is strong and who is weak? That's the question. Paul explains that by saying, the strong in faith is the person who is free under grace and is not bound by unnecessary rules and customs and habits and culture. Grace sets us free. And Paul says, stand fast in the freedom with which Christ has set you free, and do not allow others to judge you in those matters. The strong person is the free person. Now, who is the weak? The weak in faith are those who are bound and who do not understand grace adequately and bring restrictions that are beyond the scripture. I remember a lady that came to our church who had worked in a country club in Palm Springs at a resort hotel. And of course, she's in the swinging crowd there, and she's used to living it up a little bit, but she becomes a believer. And she comes to church, and one day she gave this testimony. Since becoming a Christian, I'm finding a lot of Christians who are the vice president of You can't do this and you can't do that, getting a kind of a negative impression about what it is. Now, the sad thing is that the weak believers have dominated the church for years and given the wrong view of Christianity. And we need to look at this scripture carefully and understand our freedom and what it means to live under grace. I have a friend who is strong in faith and lives under the grace of God in freedom, and he's a businessman. And he occasionally takes a social drink. And he was at a conference one time in the bar room where everybody was gathering before the meeting. And what was that to call it? Well, it's a cocktail hour.
Happy hour.
And he heard a Christian man talking to another man standing there. The man offered him a drink, and he says, no, I don't drink, I'm a Christian. Well, my friend said, here, I'll take a drink, I'm a Christian, just to show the freedom. Now, I appreciated that, and I'm not advocating drinking. We all know that, but the man who gave that air, you know, that I don't because I'm a Christian. Some people use that with coffee. Oh no, I don't drink coffee, I'm a Christian. Or, you know, the old saying, we don't smoke and we don't chew and we don't go with the girls who do. Things like that. So there are clear things and there are disputable matters. That's the issue. There is clear revelation in Scripture of sexual immorality and drunkenness and these things, always wrong, no doubt about it. The other thing is that there are some matters which are not so clear. And Paul is saying, do not judge. But we need to understand judgment. Judge not, lest you be judged, and everybody uses that. In some circles, you can't say anything about anybody. They're so sensitive, they say, well, you're not to judge. judgment means we condemn a person to hell. You and I have no right to do that. We cannot do that. That's reserved for God. But in a sense, people take that as judgment. Actual judgment is to condemn a person to hell. Now, the counterpart to that is the matter of evaluation. We're influenced by people, and we have to be discerning about the people we're going to travel with and walk with and, quote, hang around, because we are people who are influenced, and we need to evaluate who is worthy to be with, who is helpful to be with. And so Paul is commenting on that, of condemning and rejecting. Accepting is the big thing, even in disagreement. Now, the principle involved: do not waste your time arguing about disputable matters, or waste your time trying to solve that problem. If a person wants to do something, accept him. If you don't want to do it, that person should accept you. Let's not waste our life in arguing with discord over these things. Some people have, the only exercise they have is jumping at conclusions and running others down. And we want to be careful about that. To Paul says, it sums up this way: God has accepted him. Who are you then? If God has accepted me, who are you not to accept me? And if God has accepted you, who am I not to accept you? That's ridiculous. It's all by grace. God accepts us by grace. We accept each other on the basis of grace. And actually, that is unconditional love. How can two human beings be together and make it together unless there's unconditional love? Unless we accept each other on the basis of grace. And in a church family, there is no possible way of people, quote, being a church, functioning as a church, serving together, unless there is acceptance. Great, total, complete acceptance on the basis of grace. While we do not nag each other, we do not try to play a spiritual detective and correct each other. We trust God to do that, and this is a specific direction to all Christians. Do not hinder one another. Now, we need to be careful that, say, we're free. We are free. You say, Bill, can I do anything? Yes, you can. You're under no law. But what has changed is what you want to do. It's from have to do to want to do. Augustine said, love God and live as you please. But what pleases is now to please him. So the grace protects there. But do not use this freedom to parade it before other people and going around doing disputable things that would hurt other people or hinder them. That's pure pride. And the weak in faith who are bound should not hinder those who are strong in faith. And so we are not to parade our freedom or our chains, but to determine our behavior by love and acceptance. So here's a partial part of Romans 14, and we will take up some more specific things in this chapter next week. Grace, acceptance. Are you strong in faith this morning? Or are you weak in faith? Do you know of any way you're hindering another Christian? Do you know Christians who are hindering you? Then we must get free of that. And we must accept him whose faith is weak. And let the weak accept the strong with unconditional love. And the way God has set it out in Scripture is that it's so wonderful for us to be able to live together in families and live together in his church. May the Lord help us this morning to accept this text as authoritative for our life. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you this morning for this truth into Romans 14, which is so important for our life today because this is where we live. And Lord, there are many things that aren't mentioned in Scripture that are part of our modern living for which we must have wisdom and discernment. But we pray this morning that the grace of God will so invade our life that we will be gracious to each other and bring a great sense of acceptance. Lord, may grant that all of us here in a Royal Bible Church could feel acceptance and love and look forward to being together because of that. Use this scripture this morning to deal with our lives and for your glory. And may Jesus Christ be praised. Amen.